Well, thank you, President Rubeck. It's good to be here and have the chance to share with you. By the way, and I wasn't able to go this year, but I typically go to the National Prayer Breakfast, but I never get breakfast because I'm never in the room. What you may not know, and what I don't even think the president knows, that every year there's a group of us who meet literally in the room next door to the president's prayer breakfast, and we spend 48 hours straight praying. So there's a lot of prayer that goes on, just not in the room where you guys are. There's a number of us who come in and spend the night and through the day praying for what's going on in the room next door. I find there's a lot of that in Washington, D.C. There's a lot of things going on in prayer that will not make the headlines. Looking at the other side of the world, let me tell you something else that happened. 2 years ago, my wife and I had the opportunity to be a part of the World Prayer Assembly in Jakarta, Indonesia. Now, Jakarta, Indonesia is the world's most populous Muslim nation. So it seemed like a strange place to have the World Prayer Assembly where about 10,000 Christian leaders from around the globe come. But there was a reason why the Lord had sent us to Indonesia. You see, in this most populous Muslim nation of the world, the church is exploding in growth. And there's a reason for it. There are over 500 prayer stations. Over 500, literally in Indonesia, they call them prayer towers, in which Christians are praying day and night. Day and night, prayer towers. 500 of them that are happening all over Indonesia, and the church is exploding in growth. Wherever the church is praying out of its head, God is doing a powerful thing. The Indonesian church is a good example of a group of Christians who understand what it means to go vertical before you go horizontal. Now, that may sound like a strange way of saying it, but that's the theme for this year's International Conference on Missions. One word, vertical. And we want to invite you to join us in Columbus, Ohio, November 13th through the 16th this fall, where we go vertical. It's going to be an awesome time. There's going to be great, great speakers. They're going to do some powerful things with God's word that I think are going to make a difference. You're going to have tons of very unusual workshops. We're shaking up the things that we do this year, unlike any other year. Literally, there will be opportunities to come together with missionaries by region, 13 different regions from around the world, to spend 3 hours praying and strategizing together, hopefully coming up with some new collaborative sort of strategies to reach the world in that place. In other words, it's not just a place to come and sit and learn, it's a place to come and do. And speaking of which, the most important doing that's going to happen is we're going to have, and I'd like to call it 24/7, the trouble is we're not there for 7 days, so I guess it's 24/4. But Thursday through Sunday, we're going to have a prayer room with about 20 different stations right in the heart of the exhibit area. And it's going to go from Thursday till Sunday nonstop. You can go in 2 in the morning. You can go in at 4 in the morning. I'm not, but somebody might. To go in and spend time simply praying for the world. And we're going to have hands-on, lots of different prayer stations that are very, very engaging. We set up a lot of prayer stations like this around the nation. And I promise you this, you'll walk in there thinking, I'm going to spend a couple minutes in the prayer room, and an hour later, you're just not going to want to leave because there's so many things to do that are all hands-on. So at the heart of this conference on missions will be the opportunity for us to go vertical. That's really what I want to share with you this morning. I don't really so much want to talk about, tell you what, I'm going to grab somebody's, is this okay with some of you? I don't know, someone, this belongs to someone. Okay, good. Thank you. I want to put my Bible down here. As we look at this, and the reason why I chose vertical after a lot of prayer is that it's very, very easy for us as believers to be overwhelmed by the horizontal. The horizontal has to do with reaching out. It has to do with ministry. It has to do with what we do with others and how we meet their needs, whether they're physical needs, whether they're spiritual needs. And we are in a world that has so many needs that it's very, very easy to be overwhelmed by it. I grew up in church back in Indiana. And I remember missionaries coming to our church. We were a church that had a lot of missionaries would come in. And back in those days, we had slides. Anybody remember slides? Okay, anyway. And they would show slides of basically huge needs of children who needed parents and people who needed homes and people who needed food. And above all, millions upon millions who needed the good news of Jesus Christ. You know, when we focus on the horizontal, and particularly in missions, we hear that. And you hear literally words like billions of people who need Jesus. I mean, to be honest, it makes you want to go home and just curl up and watch reruns of Gilligan's Island. Because it's just overwhelming. There's too much for us to do. When we think of world missions, and that's what ICOM really is all about, it's a horizontal focus. I'm convinced, though that's not wrong in any way, to look at the needs of people around you, of course. We need to know that. We need to have a horizontal vision. But if we're going to last, and if we're going to maximize our impact horizontally, we got to start off and continue to stay vertical. We've got to stay focused on the Lord. We've got to be a people of prayer. We've got to be a people of worship. We have to be a people who are concerned more than anything else about God's presence. One of the most amazing stories in Scripture is the mission that God gave to the children of Israel after they left their captivity, their slavery in Egypt. And led by Moses, they went out into the wilderness and they're on their way to the promised land. And they really were given a mission. And the mission was daunting. Go into a land where there's already people, kick those people out, and set up a place here where God's presence is going to be the number one characteristic of your life. It's go up to the land that I promised on oath to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's what you find in Exodus chapter 33, verse 1. Now, there is an amazing conversation that we find in that chapter. To me, it's one of the most amazing conversations in Scripture between God and Moses, and they're talking about God's presence being with them if they're going to accomplish their mission. In my terminology, basically they're talking about staying vertical if they're going to maximize and be effective horizontally. Let me read this Scripture to you. I think it'll probably be up here. Exodus 33, 12 through 17. Moses said to the Lord, "You've been telling me, lead these people, but you've not let me know whom you'll send with me. You have said, I know you by name, and you found favor with me. Now, if you are pleased with me, teach me your ways so that I may know you and continue to find favor with you. Remember that this nation is your people." And the Lord replied, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." Now, before I read the rest of this, I got to tell you, I find this it's an awesome conversation, but my weird sense of humor finds humor in this. Because this is Moses. And Moses is an amazing man of God, but he also is a guy who's continually struggling with his place. And he's always struggling with God. Do you remember back before he went to Egypt and God told him, I'm gonna send you there, and he just spends all of his time arguing with God about, well, I can't do this and I can't do this. And God keeps saying, I'll take care of it. I'll take care of it. I'll take care of it. And so here's God. Here's the creator of all things. And he says to Moses, "My presence will go with you. And I will give you rest." And you think Moses would be going, "That is great, thank you." Nope, he just keeps asking. Then Moses said to him, "If your presence does not go with me," wait a second. God just said, "My presence will go with you." And so here's Moses, he's still the same old guy. Amazing man of God, but understand, we all have our little quirks, you know, as we follow God. And Moses still has this. "If your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. How will anyone know that you're pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? what else will distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the face of the earth? And the Lord said to Moses, I kind of want to put again, I will do the very thing you have asked, because I am pleased with you and I know you by name. This man of great leadership skills, Moses, understood that it was the Lord's presence that was the key to the success of their mission. In other words, if they were going to be successful horizontally with the mission God had given them, they had to first of all focus vertical. That's really important for us. You see, for Israel, as long as God was with them, his presence was known, they had a vertical focus, they couldn't fail. Now, it's not that it's wrong to focus on the horizontal, it's just that it's exhausting. It'll wear you out. It'll burn you out. I graduated from Bible college a long, long time ago, and most of the men and women that I graduated with are no longer in ministry. I did just a absolutely unscientific thing, and it looked to me like less than 10% of those of us who graduated in that particular year are still in ministry. And certainly some of them aren't in, I hate to use the term professional ministry, full-time, whatever you use the term, because they shouldn't have been. But most of them simply wore out, simply burned out, rather than continuing. And I really believe a lot of that is because we have a horizontal focus. We focus on needs around us rather than on the Lord. You see, like Moses and the people of Israel, what we really need is the presence of God. Our focus has to be vertical. The author of Hebrews commands us, fix your thoughts on Jesus. See, that's a vertical focus. It's not a command to pay attention to what you're doing for Jesus, which is real easy. And by the way, it's very, very exciting. I mean, I get really jazzed by that. I get really excited by the stuff I have to do. Thank you for the nice introduction, but you know, I'm not a natural prayer. I'm a type A driven individual. I managed to get my first ulcer when I was 16. Proud of it. I earned it. You know, that's just the type I am. So you see what God did. You know, God has a sense of humor. God chose a type A driven person to do prayer ministry, which is really funny because you think prayer ministry is, you know, this quiet, contemplative sort of person. And I'm not that. I want to get things done. I get excited about seeing things happen. But the author of Hebrews did not say, fix your eyes on the ministry ahead of you. Fix your eyes on building ministries, on doing great things for God. That isn't the command. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Fix your thoughts on Jesus. Well, how do you do it? How do you fix your eyes on Jesus? I mean, what I find that we're very, very good at knowing Scripture. We're pretty good. We really are at knowing stuff up here. We're just not very good at doing it. And part of it is because we don't ask the right questions. The question is how? Lord, you said fix your thoughts. I mean, well, how do I do that? Let me give you a tip from a non-natural prayer who basically has had to learn from the ground up how to pray and then how to teach others to pray. There's a little tip here. You got to pray about prayer. You got to pray about prayer because, see, we're not natural. Most of us, you know, we just want to go do stuff. And prayer seems a lot like sitting there thinking religious thoughts. And it's very, very tough for us to sustain a consistent, powerful, effective prayer life. So if you want to fix your thoughts on Jesus, if you want to be a person of prayer, you got to pray about prayer. Let me give you the illustration. There's a passage of Scripture that years ago I began to pray every day. It's found in Psalm 27, verse 4. It's the reason, by the way, that I believe that God said of David, here's a man after my own heart. A man who, was really a mess. in a lot of ways. Had major sin in his life, had family problems, wouldn't quit. You know, he had all sorts of issues, and yet God said, that's a man after my own heart. Psalm 27, verse 4, I think, tells us why. Because here's David, he comes to God, and he says, God, I only want one thing from you. It isn't money, it isn't power, it isn't wealth. Lord, what I want is you. Lord, you're what I want. I want to dwell in your house all the days of my life, gazing on your beauty, seeking you in your temple. So I saw that. I started praying that. I still do every day of my life. But I got to tell you, for about the first year, maybe 2 years, I would pray that prayer. Lord, I want to dwell in your house all the days of my life, gazing on your beauty, seeking you in your temple. Lord, please help me understand what I just asked you. I'm sorry if I sound unspiritual, but that's what I really prayed for well over a year. Lord, help me understand what it is I'm asking. I don't even understand that. I don't know what it means in the midst of daily life to dwell in your house. I don't really know what it means to gaze on your beauty and to seek you in your temple. Now, decades later, I have a little bit of understanding of that. But what I'm saying to you is, if you want to be a person of prayer, and God's called us to be, I virtually find everyone wants to be, you got to pray about prayer. If you find a command in Scripture that says, fix your thoughts on Jesus, you come to God and say, Lord, I choose to fix my thoughts on you. Now help me, Lord, to figure out what that really means. Show me, Lord, what that means today. How will that change the way I use today? How will it change my thoughts? How will it change my time? Lord, help me with this. I'm not spiritual enough to be this person who walks around with my thoughts fixed on you. I need help in going vertical. I'm guessing you do too. You ever wondered how modern-day Christian leaders might have led Israel on the mission to take the land? You know, they formed a team of key leaders. They open with prayer. They write their mission and vision statement, followed by the development of a 1-year, 3-year, and 5-year strategy. Then, of course, it'll take some time to do the budget and staffing issues. You know, organizing a nation for conquest is going to take a lot of time, a lot of organization, a lot of strategic thinking. And even then, with all of that, they probably thought they could do it in a few months. Only God knew it was going to take 40 years to get them ready for the task ahead of them. I don't want you to misunderstand me either. I'm not a mystic. I don't think you go sit in the corner and meditate. There is a role, there's a place for good planning and strategic thinking. As a matter of fact, when you read the rest of the book of Exodus, it's a great model for excellent planning, for strategic thinking. But Moses correctly focused on the essential, and later on he dealt with the peripheral. He started vertical. Then he went into the horizontal. Jesus taught us a lot about this. By using the picture of the illustration of the vine and the branches. Jesus said, I'm the vine and you're the branches. A lot of us struggle with what it means to be a branch. When I ask people, so what's the job of the branch? Don't answer yet. Okay. Because people often say, well, the job of a branch is to produce fruit. I'm sorry, that's not true. That's your horizontal thinking coming out. The branch only has one job. It's to stay attached to the vine. See, that's vertical thinking. Stay attached to the vine. The vine has in it everything that's needed to produce fruit. It just needs branches that stay attached. Jesus, to hammer the point home, just made sure the disciples and you and I understood it. He said, so apart from me, you can do nothing. And by the way, I know that's true, not just because Jesus said it, because I've done a lot of nothing. I mean, in the kingdom, in church stuff, I've done a lot of nothing. Stuff that did not have any sort of eternal value, any sort of long-lasting results. I know that Moses had not heard these words of Jesus. But in a real sense, his response to God fit the teachings of Jesus. It's as though Moses said, Lord, I want to stay attached to you. our vine. We can't do what you want us to do on your own. We can't take this land. We are branches incapable of producing fruit. The only thing that will distinguish us as branches is that we're attached to you. The presence of God with Israel in Moses' day, the branch staying attached to the vine in our day, are both about the same thing. We can't effectively do the work of God without God himself. A vertical focus on God will produce horizontal results. Let me tell you a story, and then I want to close. That's everybody's favorite line in a message, isn't it? I get to Dallas fairly often, not here, but south of here, because for over 20 years, I've served on the board of Pioneer Bible Translators. Last 11 years, I've served as chairman of the board for PBT. It's always been a good, godly ministry that honored the Lord, served him with integrity in Bible translation and literacy and church planting. But about 7 years ago, we brought in a new president who brought with him a new strategy, and his strategy was very simple. Prayer is our strategy. That's all it was. Prayer is our strategy. It was a vertical focus. And I want to tell you, the results have been astounding. The number of missionaries has doubled. Our stateside structure has been greatly strengthened. The number of portions of Scripture translated has skyrocketed. Finances have grown steadily. And I don't want you to misunderstand me. Before this, we were a very good ministry. We had prayed, we had served, we'd experienced good growth, but with a new radical, vertical focus, we saw an explosion in our effectiveness horizontally. And I would tell you that's going to be true for you as well. I don't know what mission God has you on. You think, well, that's why I'm here, trying to figure out. No, you have a mission even right now. You have a mission. And what I want to tell you is, in your mission today, you can't do it to the greatest level of effectiveness without a vertical focus, without a longing, a desire for the presence of God to mark your life, to be the number one characteristic of who you are. Go vertical before you go horizontal. If your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. How will anyone know that you're pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the face of the earth? Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you that you are indeed Emmanuel, God with us. Thank you for the truth of your word in Colossians that